bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to
ride it. Staff, management, or licensee of the station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 376, to be broadcast on January 3rd on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk. Without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, she's resting in the other room. If you are watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. I should be able to respond, but if I don't worry about it, and I'll just get back to you at another time. Just drop me a note. This Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, and you're listening here on Facebook Live, you can comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page right down below here, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week. Power failures, holiday schedules, and where the heck has Peddlin' Ron been for the past 2 weeks? Yeah, it's all true. So anyway, just so you know, yeah, I've been off air for a couple of weeks. We had a few things that happened. Number one, we had a big power outage. We got a nasty storm that came through, tore down a whole bunch of trees all around, took out power all over the place, and we were without power for 2 to 3 days. Unfortunately, that happened while we were getting ready to record our shows. So neither Fran or I were able to be on the air, and that's kind of what's going on here. And we live in the northeastern corner of Connecticut, and we have a lot of trees, and it's very beautiful here, but when the storms come in, boy, they do come in with a fury. So we were unfortunately out of power, and I could not record my show because of that. Now, then the following week comes along, and just it's Christmas week, and it's Monday, and Christmas was on Monday, and New Year's is on Monday and today, but here I am at 6 p.m. recording my show for this week. Because I got to catch up. So anyway, that's what's going on, and everything is fine. We just kind of had a timing glitch. So anyway, other rants to talk about. 2024, is this the year that someone starts paying attention to all of the media coverage about the vulnerable user deaths? There was a NPR article, story, whatever you want to call it, on December 31st, New Year's Eve. It talked all about road street designs, etc. I'll get onto that more in the show. And on another rant note, USA Cycling changes the rates to race promoters for 2024. I'm going to go down that road. Anyway, I'm going to go down that road. We'll get to it. But there's more. Hey, sports fans, stick a sock in it. From my rant of the week. What is that all about? This and more in the show. On a positive side, Happy New Year. Yeah, it's 2024. How about that? And hopefully you made it through your holiday season successfully, and maybe you got some things that were on your wish list, and that's always a nice, happy surprise. I did, and that was really nice. I have a new pair of cycling shoes. Yay! Franny got me some new shoes. So, yeah, and now it is obviously Happy New Year. It's 2024. It's the first of the year. And how was your 2023? Did you have a good year? Did you hit your goals? Did you do all the things you said you were going to do? Did you do all the things that Peddlin' Ron suggested that maybe you might want to try to do for cycling? You know, I'm just checking in, that's all. And, of course, you know, how was your holiday season? And I'd also, on a positive side, like to shout out to the friends of Mansfield Hollow State Park. We had a first day hike today, and we had 61 people show up for a first day hike today, which was really, really cool. A bunch of the people that were on the hike were cycling friends of mine, as well as other people who are local to the area and saw it broadcast on various places. places around that we advertise it. And it was just a great day. It's a really nice day to be out. It was a little rough underfoot because the reservoir has been underwater. Well, the road was underwater for about 6 days. On the second time around, we had it actually flooded out twice. We live in a floodplain area here, and it's a control area where we have a flood control dam, which when they block it off, the road goes underwater. So makes it very, very peaceful for living on the road, but a little inconvenient for a lot of people that use this road to travel through. Anyway, a lot of the debris had come up today and then receded back down, so the trails are just a big mess, and we've got a lot of work ahead of us. But I am the president of the Friends of Mansfield Hollow, so I will be talking with my work crews about what we can do to clean it up, because it's a big mess. But anyway, otherwise, we made it around all the mess that was down there, and we went out for a lovely 4.5 mile hike around the reservoir. It's very beautiful out today. It was a nice day. Another snow-free January 1st here in Connecticut. Unusual for sure. So anyway, shout out to my board of directors and organizers of the Friends of Mansfield Hollow State Park and for all the help that they did today. And it was great. It was a good day to be out. And let's see here. Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. Baby, it's cold outside. Maybe this is the year to work on an indoor cycling plan if you're trying to figure out how you're going to get yourself going for 2024. I'm going to talk up indoor cycling a little bit here. We'll get to that in a minute. I also have a 30-minute non-cycling indoor workout that you can take with you wherever you go. So there's different things that you can do to prepare yourself for your upcoming season if you are so inclined to be in the cold zone as we are. I know you folks that are out in San Diego that are listening to me, you're just going, what? Why do you live there? What are you, nuts? And so, yeah, we are a little nuts, but that's okay. We're hardy New Englanders. That's what we are. We live on flannel-lined jeans and wood stoves up here this time of year. It's, you know, the drawback to it is the cold. The upside of it is we have some of the most unbelievably gorgeous cycling routes you've ever seen or been on. So anyway, I would like to welcome Roger and Billy for hopping in on this tonight. I guess they must be on their Facebook page, because otherwise they would never know I was doing this. So anyway, hey guys, how you doing? Happy New Year. And let's go back up to indoor cycling. So I was having this conversation today with some friends that had stopped over after the first day hike, and we were talking about our cycling, and we were talking about different things that you can do, and they were asking me questions about, well, what do I do to get in shape? What kind of workouts do you do? And I explained some of the things that I teach on my in my spin classes, which I will begin to do tomorrow. And I'll be up at the community center every day, pretty much, except for Saturday. I'm teaching classes up there this time of year. And as I was putting it all together, I realized that last year, by the time I hit the road, I was, I pretty much had 85 hours of cycling time in on the indoor cycle before the rubber hit the road. What does that mean? Well, it's a different type of cycling. It is not like riding on the road, but it is effective, and it keeps your cardiovascular fitness. It allows you to keep your heart rate up and do interval type training. That's kind of what I use it for, because it's on a stationary bike, so it's a lot easier to do the intervals than it is to do them outdoors, because outdoors you have a lot of variables that happen. You know, if you're hardy and you want to go outdoors and do that, that's really great. If you have the accessibility of being able to go somewhere warm down south, that's always a bonus too. That's always a big big help because you can actually get some real road miles in on the road, or maybe off-road miles if you're a mountain bike person. There are some lovely, lovely places to go. So, I don't have that luxury all the time. So I discovered 21 years ago that the best thing for me to do to be able to try to maintain my fitness was to do more indoor work. Now, a lot of people use programs like Zwift and others, Ruvi and a few others that are a Trainer Road, I think is another one. They're all indoor cycling programs that you can basically get on your computer with and on your smart trainer, as they're called. And the smart trainer will actually adjust to the program that you're on. So it simulates riding on the road outdoors. They're very sophisticated. They've done a lot with these things. They've really gone a long ways. Or sometimes you need somebody like good old Peddlin' Ron here, trying to get you going with some enthusiastic rock and roll music and a little bit of positive attitude to get you to work your butt off. And that helps a lot, too. Not to mention you get to meet new friends indoors and you get to stay really, really warm because you're sweating indoors. And so there are certainly some benefits to being indoors on a bicycle this time of year. So I encourage it. I think it's a really, really good thing. I think that there, I find myself when I get on the road in the spring, the first week or so, I feel a little off, like, God, I put all this work in. I should feel a lot better than this. And it just takes a couple of two or three rides to get your legs back on the road, and it all comes back very, very quickly. That's the bonus. It comes back very, very quickly. So because you spent so much time and so many hours on the bike indoors, I am also a big fan of hours, not miles. So I record my time spent when I'm riding my bike, either in or outdoors, because that way you don't get yourself overwhelmed with number of miles ridden. I've got a lot of friends who have been sending over their Strava reports from 2023, and it shows how many miles they went and how many feet they climbed and all that. And it's like, hey, yeah, it's all right. If it's good for them and it makes them feel good, then that's a beautiful thing. And so, you can do all that with cycling programs if you're recording your workouts. I do believe in recording my workouts. I do monitor my heart rate very carefully, as I have had a heart disease issue in the past, and I just really want to make sure I stay on top of that sort of thing. So I recommend that too. A good heart rate monitor is wonderful. I even have one of these silly little watches right here, and this is great because it's very accurate. It's as accurate as my chest band is that I use when I'm using my program. So I've been very, very impressed with the quality of what you can get out of a wristband heart rate monitor now. Why do I do it? Because I kind of want to see where I'm at. I want to see how long I'm spending time in a higher zone, like a zone 4, where you're working, beyond 80% of your maximum. And I want to see how fast it takes me to recover. And I find that the more I pay attention to my training, the faster my recoveries come. And that's really your sign of fitness. As your recovery times get faster, it's an indication that you're becoming more and more fit. So there's some science involved here. There's some experience involved here too that you can use. And I just think it's all good. In the long run, it's all good. Plus, if it can keep you enthusiastic about being on your bike for a while in the wintertime, and maybe even if it's just chit-chatting with your friends that are also people that you ride with outdoors and they've come indoors to play, it's a great way to just keep the whole social aspect of it going. One last thing I will mention on this, and, well, I won't mention one last thing. Never do. Your seat. All right. When you spend a lot of time indoors on the bicycle seat, you kind of toughen up your butt to the point where you don't go through that initial break-in period every year of, boy, I sat on my butt all winter and, you know, watch TV, couch surf, and, you know, whatever you do when you're not riding your bike. And now I'm just, oh, God, I got back out on the bike and, you know, the ride was okay, but boy, my butt really hurts. You don't go through that because you just keep that area well used and refreshed, we'll call it that. So that's kind of a good thing. And then what was the other thing I was going to mention here too? This allows you to hopefully not find yourself diving deep into the refrigerator and other various places, the snack drawer or, you know, the chips drawer or whatever it is. And it allows you to keep burning those calories, keep the body familiar with the fact that you are working it and that you are comfortable with it. So that is also a good thing. I'm a big believer in it. And that's why I am on my indoor cycle 6 days a week in the wintertime. I also was, as I was talking to the folks today that were questioning me about my workouts and what I do, I am a really, 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 really big believer in rest time on the bike, which means that I don't get my heart rate up over much more than 70 or 75% a number of days out of the week. I generally am involved with or participating with my workouts and my classes about 3 days a week. And the rest of the time is what I like to call garbage miles, junk miles, whatever you want to call it. But it's easy stuff. And you really, really have to let your body recover between your interval workouts. Big believer in high-intensity interval training, otherwise known as HIIT workouts, which have become the big popular word these last few years. I've been doing them for since back in the 70s when I first started racing bikes. I've been doing HIIT workouts. I think they really are effective. They're effective for me, at least. And I also do not spend much more than an hour on an indoor cycle at a time. I do have a class on Sundays that is an hour and a half in length, and I will do that. And I'm also currently talking to my local community center about putting together another 3-hour endurance spin class for raising money for cancer, which is what we had done last year. So we'll probably have another one of those coming up, and I'll be announcing that when we get there. But that's a rare moment to spend 3 hours on an indoor cycle. I don't think it's bad for the body. I think it's not so good for the brain. So anyway, people do it. People do it all the time. That's how a lot of people get their base miles, and base miles are important. I understand that. But let's talk a little bit more about other things that you can do, and that would be, this one actually came out of, this came out of Bicycling Magazine, I think. Yeah, I think that's not the one I was looking for. Anyway, it came out of Bicycling Magazine, and it was a 30-minute workout that you can take with you anywhere. The thing that you don't understand about riding your bike is that you have to keep your core strength up, and the wintertime is a great time to do that. So focusing on more than just riding the bike, maybe doing something a little bit different. It could even be, if you're so inclined to have the snow around you, you know, cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, those are all great, great places to do different types of work. And they'll be really, really good for you. But bodyweight workouts offer a unique benefit to cyclists, and because they're a range of motion, movement patterns, and you can just get a lot out of it. The Implementing a lower body routine incorporates a lateral and rotational movement as well as upper body and core training. Cyclists can increase their overall athletic standards and the functional capacity of their bodies. In addition to making you move in different planes of motion, it also alternates lower body, upper body, core exercises. These are all really good things. I'm not gonna discount the whole idea of doing some yoga too over the wintertime. Yoga's really good. It'll help you stretch your body out a little bit. I would do it after warming my body up real good, which I teach a class, believe it or not, that is called Spoga, spin yoga, and it's a half an hour of spinning followed by a half an hour of yoga, and I think it's really, really beneficial because it increases your flexibility and it makes you able to sustain your position on your bike in a more comfortable manner. You do a little yoga with a little bit of core work and all, you could really, really change the way your performance is on your bicycle, which is great because the more comfortable you're on your bike, the more inclined you are to ride your bike. Good. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense to me. And anyway, so you can do these crazy workouts. It doesn't take much. Hands and feet on the ground, kind of down in a squat position and kicking out into the back and forth and swaying side to side, hip to hip, and just, you know, using your body to do the workout. No weights, okay? Not, I mean, you can do weights if you want to, but if you were to be able to, if you could stand with your feet hip wide apart and step right foot back on a diagonal and bend both knees at about 90 degrees, left knee tracking over your toes and the back right knee hovering just over the floor. And you basically dive from side to side. You're going back and forth from side to side, side to side. And that will give you a lot of core strength. It will give you some burst strength in the legs because you are going to be loading and unloading the legs. Let's not discount finding a place that you can ice skate for an hour, because that's all that is load, unload, load, unload. So that's another good thing. So you just repeat that and do a bunch of those things. And then you can do push-ups where you push up and down, and maybe you reach over and tap your shoulder on one side and then push up again and then tap over on the opposite side. These are great. They give you balance. They give you strength. They work on your core, and that helps you hold a good position on your bike when you're riding your bike. So planks are really simple. Just holding yourself in a pushed up position works really good. If you can't hold yourself with your arms, you can always go down onto your elbows. Planks work great. They're really, really good. I am not a competitive plankster. I don't believe you should be doing them for very long. I would be a minute or less is more than adequate for planks, and after that it's completely unnecessary. You can do squats on without any weights. Once again, you can use a wall to hold on to if you need to, if you don't have really good balance with that, until you gain that balance. But doing squats, first one side, one leg, and another leg, I actually teach these in my Silver Sneakers classes. And I have them doing these squats, which alternate from the right leg to the left leg. Remember, when you're doing your squats, make sure that your knee does not go in front of your toes when you're doing your squats. I think they're great. You can do squats with a twist, and you can, you know, twist from side to side from your hips, so you're opening up a little bit more of your hips and your hip flexors, which is really, really good. There's just a whole bunch of things that you can do. We did planks already here. Lunges, again, the lunges and squats are really, really good for you. They're hard. And there was a thing that we used to do when I was young, when I was in gym class back in school and high school, and we used to do these things called squat thrusts. I don't know if you ever remember these or not, but basically you faced a wall and you put your hands up against the wall, and then you would drop down and throw your legs back and bring them forward and then come back up, and then you could reach up over your head and back down and go down again. I used to do these back when I was racing my bike. I used to do these, and I would start out by just doing them naked, basically being that I wasn't using any weight whatsoever, and then I would eventually incorporate putting a bar in, like a metal bar like you would use for putting weights on. And I would do them with that, and oh my God, you will be crying after you do a bunch of these things. So they're really good too. There's a lot of great things you can do. But you really want to try to mix it up a little bit. Spend 30 minutes doing this. That's enough. Actually, don't spend 30 minutes the first time. Spend 10 minutes the first time, and then gradually increase 12 minutes maybe the next time you do it. And taking a day off in between, or maybe just riding on your trainer in between, but go from 10 minutes to 12 minutes to 14 minutes to 16 minutes. 2 minute additions. That's all you really need to do. And you're just going to really do a lot of good for your upper body and your core. And when you're out, maybe if you're out on your bike and you're spending a long time on the bike because you're doing a long ride, you'll have a little less problems with shoulder and neck issues when you're riding the bike. It helps you hold your position on the bike more aerodynamically, which makes you more efficient. It's all good. It's all good stuff. So I'm a big believer in this, and I'll keep playing around with these a little bit and maybe come up with some better descriptions as we get deeper into our the resolution, so to speak. We have a thing we kid about at the gym, and we go, you know, viva la resolution, or long live the resolution, because the resolution has come out of the woods come January 1st, because everybody made that horrible promise to themselves that they were going to stick with it this time. They were going to work out. And, you know, resolutionists, I give them a 3 to 6 week shelf time, and then we usually don't see them around much longer than that. That's just kind of a common thing. Although, if I can get them to break 6 weeks, I got them forever, you know, and it really, really does make a difference. You know, people really, they get their fitness, they start feeling better, and it's all good. And hey, Randy Spellman, how are you? Randy Spellman knows a lot about this. I think he was a CrossFitter at one time. He was doing that CrossFit stuff. That's intense stuff. Really, really intense. And I know Randy way back in the day when both he and his dad were riding their bicycles out of Rainbow Cycle in Willimantic. So that was kind of a cool thing. It was definitely good times. All those times were really good times. So focus on other things besides riding the bike in the wintertime to help strengthen your body and get your body ready for next year or this year. It's 2024. Absolutely. Let's go on into the show here a little bit more. 2024. Okay. I said earlier, is this the year that someone starts paying attention to all the media coverage about vulnerable user deaths? Because I was listening to NPR on December 31st, New Year's Eve, and there was a story that was on by Joel Rose, and it was on Weekend Edition, and it talked about the rules of the road are changing, but not fast enough for everyone, and talked about this poor gentleman by the name of Matt Keenan, and he was an experienced cyclist. He knew the best routes all around San Diego. He bought the brightest lights for his bike, and none of it was enough to keep him alive. He was killed by a driver who crossed over the road's double yellow line and hit him head-on in the opposite bike lane. He was in a bike lane. What's the key piece of information here? It was a bike lane, not a protected bike lane. So there was nothing to barrier him from the oncoming vehicle, which is really, really unfortunate. And unfortunately, he left his wife and his 15-month-old son behind. It's a sad story, but it's not an uncommon story right now. Cycling, I had a piece here. Where was I here? It was one of the deadliest years ever in New York City for cyclists. 2023, absolutely. Traffic crashes killed 112 people in the first half of 2023. It's just insane. 51 people for the first 3 months. I'm just reading down the highlights here. And, you know, most pedestrian and cyclists deaths caused by preventable measures. And like I said, pedestrian, protected bike lanes, that sort of thing. And separated bike lanes are, and this from the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety 2023 study by the in the U.S. found separated bike lanes are more safety affected than traditional painted bike lanes. Harvard Public Health News, traffic deaths are a public health crisis in the U.S., December 13th, 2023. You know, NPR, from June 26th, U.S. pedestrian deaths reach a 40-year high. This is not good. It's not good at all. Florida, among the most dangerous states for walking and cycling. That was from November 16th, 2023. Business Insider, September 26th, 2023. Car-related deaths are up even as vehicles are built safer. Here's the problem. The vehicles may be built safer, but the drivers are not. And the safer you make the vehicle, the less vulnerable the person inside the car feels, so then they tend to not pay as much attention as they should be while operating these vehicles. I won't even go down the autonomous car road right now because it's just really a huge problem. And then we have the e-bike revolution, which is going on right now. And now cyclists are now endangering pedestrians with their e-bikes because they won't ride them on the road where they belong. And, I could go on forever and ever, but I just really don't want to go there right now. I do want to talk a little bit more about the fact that a lot of this is preventable. There are so many things that we can do that will help out. There is actually since 1935, there was a manual on uniform traffic control devices that set national standards for street signs and road designs, the major revisions every decade or so. The revisions are not keeping up with the popularity of people deciding that maybe I don't want to drive a car anymore. I want to walk to work, or I want to walk down to the local store, or I want to ride my bike there, or ride my bike to work. And that is the real problem here, is that there is a big surge since COVID in A, vulnerable user deaths and accidents, and B, numbers of people that have become vulnerable users because they really, really like their, they really, really like the idea that they maybe don't need to use that car or truck as much as they used to. So this is all really, really good stuff because it's great for our environment, it's great for our health, but it also is exposing more and more people to the dangerous vehicles that we have been creating over the years. Number one most dangerous vehicle in the United States. You ready? Hang on tight. The Ford F-150 pickup truck. That is it. So, hey, Happy New Year, Randy. That's great. Yeah, the Lebanon Green. It's a great thing. Yeah, we walked around Mansfield Hollow today. It was a great thing. You know, it's just get out and do something. And, you know, as I was saying to someone, Fran and I talk about this a lot on both her show and my show, and the question is, what is the best exercise? And the best exercise is the one you'll do. My particular, you know, favorite happens to be on my bike. I really do enjoy my bike, but I also do enjoy going for walks too. So, and you know, I'll do a little bit of running, but my running is primarily on soft surface off-road. I'm not really big on pounding on the roads any longer, but yeah, it's the one you'll do. the one you'll do, the one that you enjoy. When you get done with a, we'll call it a workout or an event that you're doing, and then you look back at it and go, oh my goodness, I got X number of hours of fitness out of that. Because, and it seems like a surprise to you, that's when you know you found the right thing. So it's all good. All good. So we just need a lot of changes. And this manual, which is for the manual of uniform traffic control devices, it's kind of an antique and it really needs to be updated. I really wish that they would stay a little more on top of this, because this is what your public officials are using, your traffic engineers, your town engineers, design people in public works. This is what they use as a standard to go by, and the information is old. So what is the best way to update this if you are concerned about this in your community? Go to your local engineering department. Talk to the local engineer. Explain to him that you ride, him or her, that you ride a bicycle and you are concerned about safety features. Show up to town meetings. Petition your neighborhoods if you find that you have a lot of fast cars going through your neighborhood and it seems like it's out of control. Petition the neighborhood, bring it to the town, bring it to the local authorities, let them see this. The more you make noise about this, the chances of getting results are greatly improved. So it's really, really important that you do this sort of thing. Get out, get loud, and you know, make a difference. It's 2024. This is your year. I know it. I just know it. So, anyway, as we move on, the other part of my rant, I had a few rants here today, and one of the other part of the rant was USA Cycling has changed rates to race promoters for 2024. How do I know this? Because I'm a race promoter, and I've been putting on a race since 1983, and I have printed this one because this one really, it was just too long to put up here on my screen in front of me here, so I really want to just kind of go over a few things. This came out from Trish, can't remember Trish's last name. She's the head of USA Cycling, and she sent out a letter that was, hello, race directors and event organizers. That time of year where you as an event organizer hopefully have a moment to relax and reset before the 2024 season begins. The staff at USA Cycling has spent the last 2 months finalizing budgets, negotiating insurance premiums, and building programs for 2024. We're excited for everything this new year has to offer, including details about insurance coverage, pricing, and programming below. So, yeah, there have been some increases. Limits have increased to $1 million, from $1 million each occurrence to $3 million. This is for the riders. $2 million each occurrence and $4 million in other cases here. The increases will help reduce the need for umbrella coverages, ease negotiations with municipalities, and provide extra security in the event of a claim. If you still find yourself needing more coverage, we can increase limits to $5 million to $7 million by adding an umbrella clause. Another added benefit of the 2024 policy is the inclusion of $2 to $4 million coverage of sexual abuse and molestation at no additional charge. SAM coverage is required by a growing number of municipalities and is often an expense and insurance add-on. So here's a kind of a summary here. $2 million of each occurrence per event, $4 million in general aggregate per event, $2 million personal and personnel and advertising, $2 million damage to premises, participant legal liability, abuse, molestation liability, excess liability, umbrella, and on and on. And it, the fee structures are, here's where they're giving us the big, this is our carrot, okay? Not big on this carrot, and I'll explain why in just a minute, but before I was I put on a cyclocross race, and permits for all competitive events are now under $100. Permits for gravel, Grand Fondo gravel, and fun rides remain steady at $135. We've now adjusted other aspects to our policy to keep rider surcharge under $6. Let me tell you what under $6 is in just a moment. So the permit fees for race events are reduced to $95 a day. So I was paying more. I was paying $135. Plus, on top of that, I have to maintain a race director's license, which is another, I think it's another $150 a year. I don't know if it's going up anymore. I'll have to check into that to be sure. Insurance certificate fees remain steady at $15. That means if you want to put somebody on as a rider, like the local town that you're putting the race on, or other people associated with the race that feel that they need coverage, it's $15 extra. Rider per day surcharge fees increase to $5.99 per rider. That's up a lot, okay? Previously, I think we were at $5.30 maybe, or 25 cents this past year. Went up a lot. It went up a whole lot. So yeah, they kept it under $6 by a penny, but I'm a little offended by that. Special endorsements increased to $100 per endorsement. Umbrella coverages have a flat rate for 5 to 7 million. Have a flat rate of $1,950. Minimum post event insurance fee is $300. A flat rate for all events with 50 participants or less. Are we encouraging cycling events here, or discouraging race directors from putting on events like this? I'm just not super happy with it. Some of the fees have gone down from $135 to $95, but I would have been very happy to continue paying the $135 or maybe even paying $150 and not have the per rider insurance go up. This to me is offensive to the people that support USA Cycling, and I'm just not really happy with it. But I figured I would bring it up because it was part of my rant. You know, if you have a practice day, it's a $100 fee. Kids races are $25. I put on kids races. I don't charge any of the parents or kids to participate in the kids fun race, and I have to pay $25 for the pleasure of giving them a race. It's, you know, USA Cycling, some days you just get under my skin. Not to mention I have to pay for all my officials and my timing services and all of the stuff that comes along with this. It's really expensive to put on a bike race. And I started out only putting on cyclocross races because I could avoid the fees of local law enforcement, which gets pretty heavy if you're putting on like a road race or something like that. And it just keeps climbing up. So not real happy with USA Cycling right now, but I figured I would bring it up and remind people that when you come to my race, I am going to have to raise my entry fee because I have been hit with insurance costs. And it's not that I'm paying less for my permit that is the issue. It's that I still have to pay a per rider fee. So that per rider fee is going to get passed on. And when it goes up by as much as 75 cents per rider, I'm going to apply it somewhere and I'm going to put it onto the entry fee. And I don't like doing that. I would rather keep my race as affordable as possible. I'd rather figure out a way to come up with a no cost to any junior rider race fee. You know, I mean, I'm looking. So if there are any sponsors out there that are listening to this and would like to help me with that, I have a flat idea figure about how much money I would need to cover all that. And I would love to do that as a bonus for my race. But at this point in time, we just don't have that luxury. So I'm going to have to continue doing that. And now I'm going to have to continue thinking about increasing my junior race fee, which has always been less than my adult race fee. But that's what we got. So anyway, yeah, USA Cycling, not on my good side right now. So let's talk a little bit more about another rant, which I had earlier in the show that I had mentioned. And I'm gonna jump on this because I had some other stuff I was going to talk about before this, but I just couldn't resist this. I said something, hey, sports fans, stick a sock in it, from my rant from the week. So we all know about this pro bike racer by the name of Matthew Vanderpoel. He's just an amazing athlete. He is racing cyclocross right now, and he is cleaning house. He's doing really, really well. Well, as we know, when you are doing really, really well, and you may be from a country which is not the country that you are racing in, the fans can get kind of rude. And they are really, really rude. And this is awful. And I feel very bad for Matthew because Matthew got fined for this. But anyway, I'll move forward on this. And he's racking up victories and the fans are out of control. For anyone else just joining in on this thing, Matthew Vanderpoel said that the spectators had been booing and shouting stuff that Matthew didn't want to repeat on the camera because it was so rude to him since the warm-up in the last race he was in. And he's just done with it. He got mad because, you know, you don't want to, I mean, you are the one of the best riders in the world and the fans are booing you. Where's the respect here? Where is the decency in being a good sport in the fan world too? That's what I ask. Okay, so here's what happened. So Matthew had it. He called him out on it, and he basically was very, very upset with the fact that they were, you know, yelling and screaming at him. And he, let me see if I can find this now. I've lost it. Anyway, he got extremely upset with the spectators, and he had it out with them. Basically, he spit on them when he went by them on the next lap. And his comment was, I've had enough of the booing. The world champion critical of... He's wearing the world championship jersey in cyclocross, right? And he was critical of spectators and suggests the throwing of urine at the Hulst World Club race. Yeah, they were putting urine in cups and spreading and spinning and basically throwing it out on him. What is the point? What is wrong with these people? You know, maybe they should be banned from being allowed in the beer tent at the race, because that's just uncalled for. So this is published on December 30th, and it was in Velo News, as we know it. And Anyway, he appeared in a picture of composure for almost the entirety of the Hulst World Cup on Saturday, save for a period of about 2 seconds on the final lap. With minutes left to race, Matthew rounded a left-hand bend and curved further left to draw closer to the spectators. He spat at some of those leaning over the barriers, then continued on to victory. All right. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that. He was a little out of control, right? But they were throwing urine at him. They were booing him. He said, I've had it, he said after the race. All right. So he initially played down the incident when asked about what happened, saying at first that nothing had occurred. Then he elaborated, giving more details. It's about a load of booing. I'm done with that, too. It happened all the time today, even during the warm-up, he explained to post-race TV interview. If you feel like that, then you better stay home. I've had enough of the booing. He's not wrong. Asked what they shouted, he declined to give details. You better ask them yourself. I won't repeat it. It certainly doesn't belong in sports for anyone, and while it has enough also for me. The UCI took a dim view of the matter, fining him 250 Swiss francs for what happened. An account on social media suggested that it was more than booing. Those Belgian fans were throwing urine and beer at him. I stood next to them. That's what someone said on a Twitter account. Vanderpool retweeted that message. Accusations of urine throwing by spectators were made by Chris Froome during the 2015 Tour de France. 2 years earlier, Patrick Laverre said that urine was thrown at Mark Cavendish during that year's tour. Vanderpool's frustration may have been amplified by the fact that the Saturday's Holst World Cup was on Dutch soil, making it sort of a home race for him. While he was born and grew up in Belgium, the Dutchman's father, André, is from Hoogenheide, which is approximately 40 minutes away from Saturday's race venue. Fans, get it together. This guy just had to kick out a 250 Swiss franc fine because you were spitting on him. You were throwing urine on him. Stay home. Watch it on TV. I don't care. But you really, really, really weren't... It was just a bad idea. So I'm on Matthew's side on this one. I think that the fans need to get over themselves, as my partner Fran likes to say. They really do, because this is ridiculous. It's unheard of, obscene behavior by the fans. And if you love bike racing that much, then let's keep it clean. Please. Please. So... what's going on? Vanderpool, he's crushing Vanner and others in these races. He's just really, really riding powerful and strong right now. And I don't know if people are upset with that or if they're accusing him of other things. I have no idea. But it's just really, it's really shameful. And I'm embarrassed to be a fan at this point because I would never do anything like that. So anyway, Matthew, we're on your side. Should you ever care to listen to Bicycle Talk and know anything about it, I feel really, really bad for what you have gone through here, because it's uncalled for, completely uncalled for. So let's go back here. I got a couple of other things I think I can still fit in here, because we are running out of time and I am getting close to the end of the show. Warner Brothers. Why is Ron bringing up Warner Brothers on Bicycle Talk? Because Warner Brothers has moved cycling coverage from GCN, remember Global Cycling Network, to Max. So this is kind of a big deal, because it's... I was talking about this in previous shows before we had our little vacation here, and I had mentioned that, you know, a lot of people were upset that Global Cycling Network was no longer going to be covering bicycle racing. Now, Global Cycling Network was really, really good, and they refunded anybody who had any money invested in it, like they bought a year's subscription or whatever. They certainly did take care of them. But the Max streaming channel will add more than 300 live pro cycling events in February, picking up events previously streamed by on GCN, including the Giro d'Italia, the UCI Mountain Bike World Series, the UCI Track Championship League, and Class 1 Day races, including E3 Saxo Bank Classic and Kuurne Brussels Kuurne. The cycling events will be available to the U.S. Max subscribers by way of an add-on service. Max and Evolution of HBO Max and TNT Sports are owned by Warner Brothers, which also owns GCN. GCN will shut down its app and streaming services on December 19th. In other words, it's already been done. Subscribers will also have access to The Breakaway, a pre- and post-race analysis show. Through its global distribution, Warner Brothers Discovery has a proud cycling heritage and is well known for broadcasting cycling in all forms to viewers around the world, harnessing the sport's foremost experts, including two-time Tour de France winner Alberto Contador and world road race champion Philippe Gilbert, a 17-year ex-pro and fan favorite Jan Voigt, and 24-time Grand Tour stage winner Robbie McEwen to help better connect viewers with the sport during the key events. That's what a Warner Brothers spokesman said on a news release. So, yeah, they're going to hit you for an extra $10 a month or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And we'll find out when it gets there. I'm not supposed to talk about prices on this show, but anyway, that's what it's looking like. And you can find all this information if you simply go to any of the medias out there. I use Bicycle Retailer and Industry News as my grand source for this sort of thing, and that's where I got the information from. But race fans, don't worry. We still have bicycle racing on TV here in the U.S. There are other ways of doing that. I still am exploring those, and I want to make sure I'm well-versed in it before I broadcast it here on Bicycle Talk. But there are going to be other ways of handling this sort of thing, too. So next week, I'm going to probably talk a little bit more about a feed that came through, because people have been talking about this whole problem with the pedestrian and cyclist issues that are out there, and you know, the vehicles that are hitting them and what's going on. So I clicked on this feed, and they made it sound like this was something that was really brand new, and it was published in December 31st of 2008. That's how long back this discussion goes, and it's all about traffic calming 101. So I'll bring this up now next week's show when we go back to our normal time of 11 o'clock on Monday. I think I can be back on schedule at that time, and I will see you there. In the meantime, we need to wrap this up, so I am going to wrap this up with events. Remember, the Natchog Epic is coming up from Domestique Sports. This is the Sunday, March 24th. The registration is open on Bike Reg. Remember, it may and quite definitely will fill up. So if you want to participate in this event, I would strongly urge you to sign up as early as you possibly can. There have been a few additions to this, and it's all really, really good stuff. I will be there. I will be helping out with Richard and his crew, and I will probably be sweeping the shorter 32-mile ride, I believe it is. It's a gravel ride. It's a whole lot of fun. Back a while back, I had looked, and there were already 260 pre-registered for this thing. I did not check it before tonight's show, so I'm not real sure how many are there right now. But I'm thinking it's going to be. I think it's going to fill right up. So remember the Natchog Epic. It's great. It's a gravel ride. There's gravel roads and dirt and tarred roads out here in northeastern Connecticut. It's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. People were raving about it last year. They couldn't believe how gorgeous it is and how quiet it is up here in Connecticut's quiet corner. It is labeled as the quiet hell in the as a gravel ride, because there are some interesting places. Anyway, finishing points. It's 2024. What's your resolution? More miles, commuting to work around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying bicycle rides you take by slowing down and smelling the roses? Maybe you're going to get a little more involved in advocacy in your community. That's a nice resolution. That's a good one to have. And we really do love the listener comments, so please feel free to comment on the show whenever you can. I'm going to say it again, and it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park the car or truck, and use your bike instead. You just might surprise yourself. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. And if you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, you can leave your comments down here below, and I'll try to get back to them. Or you can just send me an email at bicycletalk, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you'd like to contribute information, send me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.